The first matter on the calendar today is Supreme Court case number 48292, Towns v. The Nevada Tax Commission.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Keith Marcher. I'm a senior deputy attorney general assigned to represent the appellant, in this case the Nevada Attorney General. I would like to request to use 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Keep track of it.
Thank you. Just briefly, by way of background, on May 9th, 2005, the Nevada Tax Commission, which is a public body in the state of Nevada, deliberated and voted in a meeting closed to the public to refund approximately $40 million to the Southern California Edison Company during an appeal hearing before the commission. On July 9th, 2005, the Office of the Attorney General filed suit against the commission in the First Judicial District Court to void the decision made in the closed meeting, alleging a violation of NRS 241-010. District Court found for the commission, and this appeal ensued. The sole issue before the court today is whether the Tax Commission had the statutory authority to deliberate and vote in a meeting closed to the public in the examination of the relevant statutes in place since 1983. The Nevada legislature, in promulgating NRS 241, has made it exceedingly clear that open government is the public policy of this state. NRS 241-010 expressly states that public bodies exist to aid in the conduct of the people's business and that their deliberations and actions must be taken openly. The exact opposite occurred in this case when the Tax Commission deliberated and voted in a session that was closed to the public. As this court has held in the McKay case, the only way a public body can avoid the clear and express requirements of the open meeting law is pursuant to a specific statutory exemption, and those exceptions are always narrowly construed. That exemption simply does not exist for the commission in this case. NRS 360-247 does allow the commission to close a meeting under certain circumstances, but in no way does that statute contain any authority for the commission to deliberate and vote in a closed meeting, or indicates that they are exempt from the requirements of 241.
Well, that statute is a rather odd statute in the jurisprudence of open meeting laws. It seems to be a permissive statute.
It is permissive.
What are the boundaries, if any?
Well,
closing a meeting under that statute.
The statute reads that at the request of the taxpayer, the commission may close the meeting. I think what's happened as a matter of routine is whenever a taxpayer does ask for a closed meeting, it's just closed as a matter of routine. That's the procedure they've been following.
There are no administrative regulations
not in place
describing the limitations.
Not in place at the time, as far as I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm. So other than a matter of practice for closing the meetings, the legislative direction is simply one of discretion.
Correct.
The Tax Commission can close it or not.
Correct. However,
why shouldn't they be permitted to close it in all circumstances if they choose to do so, as was done in this case?
We don't have any problem with their ability to close it, and we're not attacking their discretion to close any hearing they want. But after the closed meeting, they have to deliberate and vote in an open session. That's what's clearly required by 241-010. That's not what happened in this case. So they can close the meeting, they can accept information in the meeting and evidence and documentary evidence, even confidential information that's allowed pursuant to statute, but they have to deliberate and vote in an open meeting.
How do you deliberate if there's trade secrets or information that shouldn't be released to the public? How do you deliberate if you're a commissioner? How do you deliberate?
Well, keep in mind, I think what normally happens in these types of appeal hearings is that the potential confidential information you're talking about is typically documentary evidence or exhibits. That stays confidential pursuant to two statutes, and nobody has a problem with that. And keep in mind, when you're talking about deliberations in the administrative context, Generally, you're talking about a simple overview of the evidence that you heard in the closed meeting, a discussion of those issues, the relevant statutes, and ultimately the advocacy of an ultimate decision toward the commission. In other words, basically what you're doing when you're deliberating in a case like this is simply putting your rationale for your decision on the record and then voting in an open session. That's what we expect to do. And if some confidential information is released by the commission during the deliberative phase of a case, they're protected by the other statutes that we laid out in the brief, which is 372.750 subsection 6, which is an express specific statute that lets them reveal relevant information during an appeal hearing. So if any of that confidential information did come out or was discussed in the deliberative phase of the case, they can do that and they're protected by that.
Doesn't subparagraph 6 suggest that deliberations should take place in open?
Absolutely. But
if I understand your position, you're advocating that only the vote should occur
in open. No. Both the deliberations and the vote should occur in open session. That's what's required by 241.010. And you're right. The simple existence of that statute shows the clear legislative intent that they intended the tax commission to vote and deliberate in open. Otherwise, that statute wouldn't even exist. You can't, by definition, disclose something in secret, but you certainly can disclose something in open. So again, the mere existence of that statute shows the legislative intent in this case that they could close a meeting, take confidential information, open the meeting back up, deliberate, and vote. That's our position.
How does the definition of deliberation in Dewey affect the court's decision in this case, if at all?
I don't think it does. I think deliberations in the administrative context are fairly simple. And keep in mind, every other public body in this state with the authority to close a meeting and accept confidential information in that meeting, without exception, deliberates and votes in open session. Every other public body. The only public body in the state that doesn't do it and hasn't done it is the tax commission. So obviously it's something that can occur because it occurs every day. So the definition of deliberations, in administrative context, is fairly general. It's simply basically putting your rationale on the record, having a back and forth for why or why not the decision should be made. In this case, it would be fairly simple. Are they going to grant the refund or are they not going to? That just didn't occur here.
Well, the way I read the definition of deliberation, it adopts the holding in the Sacramento newspaper case, Dewey does, which defined deliberation as a connotation thus connotes not only collective discussion, but the collective acquisition and exchange of facts preliminary to the ultimate decision. If the commissioners are required to exchange facts which are deemed to be confidential, how can they effectively deliberate in an open meeting context?
I don't think, if you read that definition again, I don't think that it's necessary to reveal anything confidential when you're deliberating. But if you did, in this particular circumstance, again, the legislature went back in 1983 and created a statute so they were protected if any of that confidential information did come out during the deliberative process. So they're free to deliberate however they think they need to deliberate. The point is that they do need to do it in open session before the public, and they have to vote subsequently in open also.
Is there not a requirement when you deliberate to have a factual basis for your decision? So doesn't that undermine the whole issue of having a closed meeting? Because the public is looking for a basis of why the group came to whatever conclusion.
Right. And I think you can do that in an open meeting without revealing anything confidential in general. Again, every other public body in the state has figured out how to balance the confidential nature of information, keep it confidential, but deliberate and vote in open. It happens all the time.
But that would belie the having facts in the record for the basis of the decision.
Well,
so it's not viewed arbitrary and capricious.
Generally, again, I think what you're going to do when you deliberate in the administrative context is generally look at the evidence, discuss the statutes, discuss your rationale for why or why not you think that in this case the appeal or the refund should have been granted, put it on the record, and vote. That's all we expected them to do. That didn't happen.
Counsel, isn't it a bit
Well, I'll see my time's up, but if I may answer your question. Again, with confidential information, some of the factual things that happen in a closed meeting with regard to the evidence that's confidential don't need to be pulled out and discussed in detail. It's not like a jury deliberating, you know, for 5 days on every nuance of a case. Again, it's a general discussion. You follow the definition in Dewey. It's a general collective discussion. Nothing confidential has to be revealed. If it is, they're protected. So it's certainly possible to deliberate in an open session without revealing anything confidential, and if they did, they're covered. And again, every other public body in the state can do this. The Tax Commission is not the only public body in the state that deals with confidential information.
But the citizen who sought protection is no longer protected by that information.
That confidential information, if it did get revealed, gets revealed. I mean, that's the statutory scheme. That's how it's set up. So, thank you. I'll be back in a few.
Looking forward to that.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Thomas Wilson. I'm counsel for the Nevada Tax Commission. I'm sharing time with Mr. Norm Azevedo, who's counsel for the real party in interest. So I'm going to try and watch that clock and not intrude on his time and be as brief as I possibly can. The statutes that apply to the issues that are before us today, I think, are of plain language and simple understanding. I don't think there's a lot of mystery here, and I don't think we need to make much mystery. 241.020 simply provides, and that's the open meeting law statute, it expressly provides that except as otherwise provided by specific statute, recognizing the potential of statutory exceptions to the open meeting law, all meetings shall be open and public. The second is 360.247, which addresses the applicability of the open meeting law to taxpayer appeal hearings. 360.247 provides, except as otherwise provided in this section, any appeal must be heard in an open session. A hearing on such an appeal may be closed to the public if the taxpayer requests that it be closed. It's fundamental to the operation of the chapter. The third is 372.750, which made it a criminal offense for a commissioner, a tax commissioner, or an employee or officer of the department to make known the activity, operations, information, income source, profits or losses, or expenditures of the taxpayer. It's a criminal offense. I assume the policy means what it says. I assume the legislature intended it to mean that taxpayers have a right to protect their confidential information with closure. And that's the process that's been followed consistently by the commission, without interruption, without any problems, until we came across this case. The legislature processed Assembly Bill 423 this last session. It became effective July the 1st. It doesn't apply to the period of time during which the facts and circumstances took place in this case.
Well, before you proceed to the 2007 legislature, I wonder if you could comment about the effect of subparagraph 6 in 372.750 on
of 372.750
that there is simply a criminality associated with this disclosure with no exception. Didn't subparagraph 6 create such an exception for the commissioners during their deliberations?
Yes, where the meeting is open. Where the meeting is closed, you don't have a problem because there's no disclosure. So where the taxpayer closes the hearing, it's not a problem. Nobody else is in the room except the commission, staff, counsel, and the taxpayer. So it's not a problem then. Subsection 6 provides that relevant information can be disclosed as evidence on appeal by the taxpayer from a determination of tax due. It addresses the situation where there is no closure. And where there is no closure, because the taxpayer has waived that right at his election, where there is no closure, whatever's said, whatever the confidential information might be, whether it's proprietary, whether it's a trade secret, whether it's a financial condition or a credit or a debit condition, a liability condition, a lending problem, if the hearing is open, it's open and it's disclosed. And all this does is protect the commissioners and employees of the tax department from liability, from the criminal offense, which is provided by statute for disclosing taxpayer information.
Well, the taxpayer, you indicated, waives his right, but the taxpayer doesn't have a right to a closed meeting under the statute. The taxpayer has a right to request that the tax commission
close it. That's right. It may be closed.
The commission does not have to do so.
That's correct.
What are the parameters surrounding the application of that statute? Under what circumstances does the commission close or not close a meeting?
I don't know historically what the history has been. I think the practice has been historically simply to automatically close it, because I suppose the commission felt it was judging prospectively whether or not the information was going to be proprietary or confidential. You don't know it till you get there. You don't know it till you hear it. So I assume they approach this in a conservative way, and I think in every case, for at least the last 10 or 12 years, every time the taxpayer requested a closed hearing pursuant to this statute, it was in fact closed. Now, that's been changed by 433. 433 now requires that the commission make a determination of whether or not the information is proprietary or confidential. If it is, then that part of the proceeding is closed. If it's not, then the hearing remains open. That doesn't affect what the law was before the fact. I don't think it's a question that there was confidential or proprietary information in the Edison case.
Mr. Wilson, as we're going through this, and it just struck me, we're sitting up, we have an open meeting. Within this open meeting, we have a hearing. I'll speak up.
I'm sorry.
I said we have an open meeting. We start with an open meeting basis. Within that open meeting, we have a hearing. We have a subset. Following this hearing, we have deliberation, and we have a vote. Why should not each one of those subparts be separated out and looked at pursuant to the statute? The only thing that's been exempted is the hearing, not the overall meeting, not the deliberation, or the vote. Is that a correct assumption, or is that a miscarriage?
If I understand your question, under the former law, the entire thing was closed. Everything.
Well, you start with an open meeting.
Yes, you start with an open meeting.
And then they decide this particular hearing will be closed. But at the conclusion of the hearing, they then have to vote on the matter. They have to deliberate and discuss the matter. Is that outside the purview of the hearing itself? Or are you wanting to...
No, that's part of the hearing.
Is it defined?
I don't know that it's defined. I think customarily it's been construed as being a part of the hearing. I think the deliberation and the vote, just as when one takes evidence in a hearing, is all part of the hearing. I don't think, at least in the history of this commission and its procedure, I don't think there's been a distinction made. And where the taxpayer has closed the hearing, historically, the commission has closed the receipt of evidence and its deliberations over the evidence and the vote. Now, under AB 433, which does not apply to this case, but which addresses the same subject, the commission now has to make a determination of what's confidential and what's not, and whether or not deliberations warrant being closed.
Why should this court reach any discussion of 433 in the disposition of this case?
It has no relevance except to recognize what 433 did not disturb. And what 433 left in place without amendment was the fact that a taxpayer has a right to close a hearing to receive evidence which is confidential or proprietary, that the deliberations remain confidential, and the vote be in public, but it's the definitive vote, I believe, as it was used in the statute. The definitive vote means the one that counts. In the course of deliberation, and this is complicated stuff, this subject matter, and I don't pretend to be an expert, but in the Commission's deliberative process, they work hard. Sometimes it's complex. They have used historically straw votes to see where people are. They discuss it and debate it and turn it over and look at it and, well, let's see where we are, and they take a vote. It's a straw vote. Then they go back to that same subject and discuss it some more, or a different subject, but it's the same process. And they utilized historically the tool of straw votes to test where the members of the Commission were to see when they arrived at a consensus. All of that has to be in closed session if you're going to protect the taxpayers' information. I understand that the Attorney General takes the position that you ought to be able to deliberate. I don't know how you deliberate, talk about the evidence, the confidential information, to weigh it, determine its probative value and value to the decision maker without disclosing it. There's no difference in my mind between admitting the evidence in open court and deliberating the evidence in open court.
Well, isn't that what subsection 6
yes.
did? Is permit the Commission to deliberate in public relevant information to the decision. And isn't that exactly what Mr. Pine said to the legislature on February 23rd, 1983?
I think that's right. I think that's correct. But the disclosure still was not of confidential information. It was information that if the hearing is closed, I don't think that is disclosed. If the hearing is open, it doesn't matter. I don't think you reach it. Subsection 6 of 3... How much time do I have left?
5 minutes left.
I'm going to shut down for my colleague over here because he's going to begin to twitch, Your Honor, and he has the other half of this argument, and I'm not trying to conclude this, but 372.756 assumes that you don't have a closed hearing. Wouldn't make sense any other way. And because if you have a closed hearing, you can't have disclosure of taxpayer information. If you have an open hearing, then the rules are off and you can. If you do disclose, you may have a problem if it's confidential. What this statute does is not say you have to deliberate in public. What this statute means is where the hearing is open, the taxpayer hasn't elected to close it, and you're talking about the taxpayer's information, you're immune from liability because he, the taxpayer, did not close the hearing. That's what it means. To bootstrap that phrase, that section 6 of 372.750, to say that means we can deliberate in open is nonsense. To deliberate in open is to talk about the taxpayer's confidential information.
Mr. Wilson, I believe your colleague is...
He's getting twitchy, and he's going to give me a hook in a minute. Thank you. And my apologies to my colleague.
Good morning, Chief Justice Maupin, Justice of the Supreme Court. For the record, Norman Azevedo, and I will be brief. I'm here on behalf of Southern California Edison, and I'm going to give the Supreme Court the taxpayer's perspective on this process. The district court summarized, I thought very eloquently, the AG's interpretation of NRS 362.47 and 372.750 as a true Hobson's choice. That if we decide to proceed forward to the Nevada Tax Commission to have a matter considered, in this case a claim for refund, that in effect the confidentiality that's provided to all taxpayers under NRS 372.750 in effect is will be waived during the deliberative process. And I think it's important to look at the underlying statutes because they've been on the books for a long time and they do first and foremost criminalize the confidentiality concerns associated with 372.750. That is a very high standard for any public body to be subjected to. And to answer a question that was asked earlier, during the deliberative process, could that process occur without the disclosure of the confidential information, which typically is sales and use tax returns in the context of this tax, contracts, etc.? And the answer to that question is no. The Nevada Tax Commission, in addition to being subjected to 241, is also required to comply with Chapter 233B of the NRS, which requires they prepare, as they did in this case, a finding of fact and conclusions of law. With the findings of facts must be based on substantial evidence. That is the evidence that they discuss and weigh. In this case, 36247 provides the taxpayer with the right to request a closed hearing. We exercise that right vigilantly throughout the entire process. To answer another question that was asked at the beginning of this hearing, are there any regulations that define the exercise of the Nevada Tax Commission's discretion in closing the hearing process contemplated in 36247? At all time relevant to this appeal, the administrative appeal, when Edison was appearing before the commission, the answer to that question is no. Edison brought forward the past practice of the commission in this regard because that's all the taxpayer can rely on, absent having regulatory guidance.
So, Mr. Azevedo, of course, we're all familiar with your long history with the Tax Commission. Are you suggesting that in all cases, the Tax Commission, throughout its history, at least as long as these statutes have been on the books, has granted every request in which the taxpayer has made a request for confidential disclosure or confidential hearing?
I hate to answer in every instance. I have reviewed the records, the previous transcripts, and based on my understanding of those transcripts, yes, sir. That's my understanding. When the request was made, the closure occurred.
So the Tax Commission has been interpreting this statute not as may, but as shall.
I'd say the past practice establishes how they implemented that statute, yes, sir.
Well, if boundaries are necessary, isn't that something more appropriately deferred to the legislature rather than asking the court to set boundaries around which they apply this statute?
Yes, sir, I believe so, and I believe that it happened within the context of AB 433. That statute has now been changed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rebuttal.
Thank you. Just briefly, counsel did say one thing I agree with. This isn't really a mystery here. I agree with that. This isn't a mystery. All you have to do as a court is look at the relevant statutes and the legislative history, and you can easily determine that the Tax Commission does not have a complete statutory exemption to the open meeting law. If they don't, they're simply required to deliberate and vote in open. There's a specific statute that makes them do that. They did not do that in this case, and the law was violated, and that's why we're here. If the commission is allowed to do their business in secret based on the simple statutory authority to close a meeting, and every other public body in the state with that same authority could come in here and make the same argument that they're exempt. If they do that, that's going to render the open meeting law effectively meaningless in the state. It's fundamentally wrong for a public body to suggest that they can do the people's business in secret. In this case, we're talking about a $40 million tax refund. But the amount of the refund is not relevant. It doesn't matter if it's $40 million or $40. The point is that decisions made by public bodies in secret simply do not have any integrity. And public servants who make those decisions in secret do not have any individual accountability. The Nevada Constitution states that all political power is inherent in the people and that government is instituted for the benefit of the people. So how does the government benefit the people when the people are foreclosed from participating in that government? And how is government for the people when the people can't even find out how and why their public servants voted on important issues that affect them? The Nevada legislature, through the citizens of this state, the Nevada Attorney General, and this honorable court, three institutions that represent three separate branches of government, have never, ever stood for the concept of secret government in Nevada. But they've always stood for the ideal of open government.
Well, that's all well and good, and it's and everything you say philosophically makes eminent sense. But the legislature created some level of protection in terms of trying to balance privacy interests versus the public's right to know. That's what this whole case is about.
Right, and I think
there is a question in your future. The question I have is the process that you're advocating is somewhat cumbersome. How do you deal with the legislature's intent to protect proprietary information, and the notion that can be protected up to a point, but then isn't protected once the appeal process begins?
Well, again, I mean, I think you have to look at the legislative history in this case and the statutory scheme, the way that the legislature thought this was going to happen, and go back to 1983 and look at the history that allowed, again, the confidential information, if it was necessary, to be disclosed in the deliberative phase of the case. Again, without that statute, I mean, the mere existence of that statute shows the intent in this case.
Well, you, in your opening argument, posited the theory that this could, that the private information could be protected because, generally speaking, you're talking about documentary evidence,
right,
that doesn't need to be discussed. But proprietary information wouldn't necessarily be restricted to documents. And how would the contestants in one of these appeals protect proprietary information when, in fact, this information that it was intended to be protected, when, in fact, the whole case, the outcome of the appeal depends upon the proprietary information, and the proprietary information was generated in oral rather than written evidence?
I don't think generally in these types of hearings you're dealing with confidential information that often to begin with, and at least not to the point where everything in the record in that closed meeting is confidential, and you simply cannot, without exception, deliberate without disclosing something confidential. I think you can do that. I think you just need to kind of be careful about what you say and what you talk about in public. That's why they have a statute that protects them, though, if any of that confidential information is disclosed. The legislature set up the statutory scheme to balance the interest of the taxpayer and their confidentiality with the public's ability to attend these meetings and find out what their public servants are doing and why.
Counsel.
One more question and we'll take the case under submission.
Counsel, before you sit down, I understand your office wrote a 79 AG's opinion informing the tax commission that they needed to vote during open session.
Yes.
That was in 79.
Right.
So is this the only case they, from your standpoint, they did wrong, or were there other cases that, quote, they did wrong and you didn't bother to bring to us?
There were other cases, I'm sure, in that period, for a period of time, if you look in the briefs from about 97 to 2005, that were, I'm sure, done in violation of the open meeting law. But if they weren't brought to our attention, then we're statutorily precluded from enforcing that after a certain amount of time. So this is the only case that's before the court right now.
How could they be brought outside of your attention? You had an AG sitting there, didn't you?
Well, we had an AG sitting there, but apparently they weren't. The AG that was sitting in there at that period of time, that procedure apparently did get by them, but that doesn't mean that the law wasn't violated.
A potted plant.
But
the matter will be taken. Do you want to?
No, I'm just sitting the establishment of some custom practice and tradition that was occurring during that time that folks were relying upon based upon your silence, so to speak, as counsel to the tax commission.
I think that the silence of the Attorney General in this case and sitting through those hearings when this was going on doesn't negate the fact that the law was violated.
Thank you very much. This is a very interesting question of open government versus the rights of citizens to protect their proprietary information. The court will study this some more and render a decision forthwith.
Thank you.